a week and a half ago, during an interview with Politico, Bob Woodward, the famed Washington Post reporter, came forward to claim that he'd been threatened in an email by a senior White House official for daring to reveal certain details about negotiations over the budget sequester. The White House responded by releasing the email exchange that Woodward was referring to, which turned out to be nothing more than a cordial exchange between the reporter and Gene Sperling, one of Obama's economic advisors, who clearly was saying, "We're not threatening you here, but you're going to regret it because what you're printing is false." Since then, there have been questions about Bob Woodward as an intrepid reporter and whether he gets the facts right and gets the context right when he reports stories like that. Well, Tanner Colby has a perspective on this, because in 2004, Tanner was hired to co-write a biography of John Belushi with Belushi's widow, Judy, and he found out that what Woodward had written about the comedian 20 years earlier in Wired, The Short Life and Fast Times of John Belushi, was not strictly true. I've asked Tanner Colby to join me here this morning. Welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Is it safe to say that from your perspective, Woodward doesn't have the right perspective?
That would be exactly safe to say from my point of view. I undertook that project, co-authoring a biography of John with his widow Judy, and when I started it, you know, I just sort of took Bob Woodward at face value. He was the Pulitzer Prize winner, you know, Pulitzer Prize-winning sleuth of Watergate, and I read his biography of John Belushi, and I was like, all right, well, this is a template that's basically factual. You know, that's sort of how you assume that of anything you read, or a lot of what you read. And the more I dug into the subject, I found that the book was just infuriatingly wrong on every single page. And as, you know, I said in the piece on Slate Magazine that, you know, it's not like he lies or makes things up, which is an easy thing to dismiss. You know, when something's a patent lie, it's easy to dismiss it. But what he does, in my opinion, is he takes facts, and he's an excellent reporter for digging up information. He's very relentless in that way. But, you know, he doesn't have an empathetic filter for understanding and synthesizing information in a way that he can communicate it to readers. I think in his early work, when he worked with Carl Bernstein, Bernstein brought a lot of that, you know, thoughtfulness and analysis to the information that they dug up. But Woodward is missing that chip. He just doesn't have it. And many people have said this over the years, but it's just hard to nail him on it because he keeps all of his reporting confidential. You don't know where his sources are coming from. You can't go back and, you know, fact check him. And so what's interesting about this Sperling email and what's interesting about what I did on Wired is that the sources aren't confidential or they've been exposed. And you can go back and, you know, weigh the original source of information against how Woodward presented it. And it's just wrong time and time again. So, you know, I don't really trust anything he writes.
So when you went back and re-reported this, you found out that in most cases, he did get the facts right, but it was
right.
The context that was missing.
Yeah.
Give me an example of at least one example of where he got the context wrong.
Well, there's numerous examples. A couple I cite in the piece is one, he was doing this love scene in the film Continental Divide with the actress Blair Brown. And he was incredibly nervous about doing it because he'd never done something like that before. He'd always been the crazy, gross-out comedian. He'd never been like a straight, you know, romantic comedy lead. And so he was making a bunch of like dirty jokes while they were supposed to be doing this love scene as a like stalling. And everyone on set thought it was hilarious. And it was obviously inappropriate and sort of irreverent. But, you know, you could see the nervousness and the sweetness behind why he was doing it because he was really, really nervous. And Woodward took it and said, just made it him out to be like a sexist, you know, offensive bore. And he said that, you know, Blair Brown was, you know, found his actions to be inappropriate and just put it in this real terse sort of way. And she told me, he's like, I didn't think that. It's like, yeah, it was inappropriate, but sometimes inappropriate is funny and, you know, irreverent. And he just totally missed the point of that. And he does it again with Michael O'Donohue. John used to go into, you know, Michael O'Donohue was an SNL writer. He's very anal retentive and very, you know, kind of almost OCD. And John would go into his office and just start, like, moving things around and, like, miss the ashtray with his cigarette ash and just doing it to, like, get a rise out of him because they were friends and it was like a prankster thing. And the way Woodward reported it in his dry Woodward tone, he just makes it sound like John would go into Michael Donahue's office and gradually do things to annoy him and piss him off because he was just a jerk.
Yeah.
And it was also, in terms of a matter of emphasis, Woodward was only interested in John's drug habit. And so he spends like pages and pages and pages going through every minutia of how many drugs John did. Well, it's harder to dramatize when somebody's not doing something. So for the year that John spent sober, he rather than spending pages and pages explaining his sobriety, he just says, you know, John cleaned up for 6 months and moved on and goes right back to the drugs. So you get a sense of like unrelenting drugs, and there's no emphasis on the flip side of it. It was just, it's a complete, the way I describe it is like somebody wrote a biography of Michael Jordan in which all the stats and game scores are correct, but you come away reading it with the overall impression that Michael Jordan wasn't very good at playing basketball. And I go back, and obviously, you know, I don't know exactly how he did all of his reporting on the Obama books and the Bush, you know, Iraq books, but I go back and I read them, and I sort of have an ear for this Woodward filter. And I go back and I read his stuff, and it's like, well, I can't tell you how it's wrong, but it just feels like I'm not getting the full story. Like everything, the lens is just slightly out of focus for everything, so that you're not getting what is, in fact, the actual truth. And so I think that's a huge problem with his reporting, and I think the fact that his Watergate fame basically elevated him to a position that he never should have been in. He was a great, tenacious beat reporter, and he would probably, without Watergate today, he would be a really good Metro desk editor for the Washington Post, just relentlessly going around and getting facts and stories and putting them in the daily news. But Watergate vaunted him into this position of having access to the deepest recesses of power, and nobody else has that in the way that he does. And he takes that information, and he's sort of trusted to report it and relay it to the public, but I don't think he does it properly.
Well, it makes me ask the question, in both the Bush administration and the Obama administration, they've given him this extraordinary access more than once. So do they not see what he's doing? I mean, if you're talking about this in these terms, don't the subjects of his books feel that way too?
Well, I think it's all, you know, Washington is a little like high school, you know. It's like if everyone's talking to him, then you've got to talk to him too. Yeah. And he's got leverage of, well, I heard this about you, and if you don't comment on it, you know, you won't look good.
Right.
And so they go in and everybody keeps, you know, he's very good at leveraging the power he's got to get more information. You know, Colin Powell said this about you. Do you have a response to it? Otherwise, I'm going to report what Colin Powell said without balancing it with what you said. And so, I mean, that's how all reporting works. He's just very, very good at it.
Yeah. You call it a filter. Would bias perhaps apply more?
You know, a lot of people have said that he's more biased against Obama than he has been in the past. You know, I sort of think that, you know, journalism in general, because I approach this, I came to write this book from the background of being a comedy writer. I came from the comedy world, not the journalism world, which is how I ended up writing about Belushi.
Yep.
You know, I think journalists all too often hide behind this mask of objectivity. And I think, you know, everyone is biased to a certain degree. I'm biased, you know, I think we all are. So, you know, Woodward approached the Belushi book with a very prudish attitude towards drugs, and that drugs are inherently bad.
And it's really a matter of everybody has a bias, it's how much you deal with that bias as
right.
You're writing. It's a great piece, Tanner Colby. You'll find it on Slate.com about Bob Woodward, and you might want to go back and reread the Belushi biography that he wrote. So thanks so much for joining me here today, Tanner.
Thank you.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. We thank you for listening. America Weekend.